Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Not Detroit Bad Boys podcast. I am Lazarus Jackson, a guy who has never hosted a podcast before. I'm being joined by, according to our Zoom, John. Hello, John. How are you doing?
Hey, Laz. Good to be here. Yeah, haven't used Zoom on my personal computer, and I don't know when last time was, so I defaulted to John. So good to be here. Good to be podcasting for the first time ever.
Yeah, I hope that since this is our first ever podcast, we'll be able to get things out smoothly and whatnot. We're obviously joking. It's us, but what's up with the podcast? The podcast as part of the SB Nation layoffs a couple of months ago, if you guys remember that or saw that at all or care about it in any way, shape, or form. This is not a huge deal, but our podcast got demonetized and we have been migrated like off the platforms, the recording stuff and the podcasting publishing platform that we were on associated with SB Nation. They also like took away the Detroit the Detroit Bad Boys branding. And so like we have this. There's no logo. There's no branding. The name is different. I think this is currently the Detroit Basketball Podcast, just the blandest possible name. And we don't know what this is going to look like moving forward. A big part of the reason, I won't speak for Ben / John, but a big part of the reason why I did this podcast was to be like associated with the website and with the community over at Detroit Bad Boys. And so kind of like, that cleave has been like interesting thought process wise. Like, I don't know if I want to continue doing this. If I've, as someone who's had a couple podcasts, like is more fun when you have like a built-in community for sure. So that's what's up. That's why the podcast looks weird. Hopefully it sounds roughly the same. And that's why podcasts might not be as forthcoming in the not too distant future. But I will try to keep you all informed about what is actually happening through Twitter, through like I might make like a post on Detroit Bad Boys. I still work for Detroit Bad Boys technically. I'm just like not a podcaster anymore. I'm still just an editor, so I can still like publish stuff. So I can like write a piece explaining everything. Sean is going to make a statement. Fearless leader Sean Corp is going to inform you all as well for everything on his side later. Long story short, the podcast is changing to the point where we might not do it anymore. We haven't decided yet. That's basically it. So yeah, anything to add, Ben? Anything you want to clarify on your end while we're just talking?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think it's a bummer. We've been doing the pod together for I have to go back and think of how many years it's been that you and I have been doing it. A couple years before that, we had Jordan and I did it, and then we before that just sort of ad hoc randomly did YouTube Google Hangouts back in the day. So it's been a number of years, you know, that we've been doing the podcast. And Laz, I echo your sentiments about it's been fun to do it as part of the Detroit Bad Boys community. That's what's made it fun, right? Being able to talk to and with the community, I think is what's made it enjoyable. Obviously we're not the biggest show as far as Pistons podcasts
very
go.
True.
The podcast scene has exploded. You know, we've got big media presences with big media podcasts out there. But it's been a lot of fun to do. So, I'd be curious to hear what people in the community think. Let us know what your feedback is. And that's interesting to hear as well, because as I mentioned, it's been in large part a community driven sort of podcast. So be curious to hear what members of the community think. So, but yeah, I mean, I think we'll try to power through the rest of the season and evaluate from there. Yeah, that's all I've got to say as well.
Yeah. Speaking of powering through the season, Ben, we have 11 games left if I counted correctly. The Pistons actually managed to win a basketball game this week. Woo!
Yeah.
And in good, better also news, Houston won twice this week. So despite the Pistons' lone win, they remain the worst team record-wise in basketball. Why are we watching this team the rest of the way, Ben? What are we doing?
Well, Corey Joseph is playing, right? I mean, that's
That's
the main
true.
reason.
Yeah. Unrestricted free agent Corey Joseph, who's definitely coming back, is balling.
Getting that third point guard spot on a playoff roster next season, I think. Yeah, I mean, how do you not watch at least some of the games, right? I mean, we love the
Yeah.
Pistons. We've watched it all the way through. We got to see what happens, and we're gonna get there. But I think the Twin Towers, right? I mean, how do you not watch the Twin Towers? It's either gonna be interesting, or interesting in a good way, or interesting in a horrible way. So yeah,
Yeah.
we got.
Interesting is definitely all encompassing, right? Like there are a lot of possibilities contained within interesting. Yeah, we'll start with that then. We got to see the aforementioned Twin Towers, the James Wiseman Jalen Duren front court for the first time in like extended minutes against Denver. They like ran it out against Washington for like a minute and a half, and then somebody got in foul trouble, and then so you didn't really get to see it much. We saw some cool lobs, some cool like high lows. Like that was interesting. We also saw that there was just like zero spacing on the floor. If those high lobs weren't working, there was not a lot of other offense available, primarily because you're starting or you're playing two bigs who can't really shoot at this point in time in their careers, and the defense has treated them like that. And there also was like not a lot of defense on the Pistons end. To be fair to them, this was Denver just kind of like turning on the Jets. I think there was a 33-9 run to close the game that was part of that lineup contributed to. And so it's like it's not fair, and the team's defense has like not been amazing the entire year, so it's not fair to just like say like the defense was bad for these line for this lineup in particular when the defense has been bad the entire year. But Ben, I hope we see more of this lineup. You're right in that it's one of the few reasons why we continue watching, but we saw the good and the bad, right? We saw why you might try it and the very obvious flaws the lineup has.
Yeah. I mean, I want to see more of it because it's interesting, right?
Yeah,
Like
yeah.
I don't know that there's any hope for this being successful at the NBA level over the long term. I mean, I thought so against Denver, I thought the first stretch was fun. I think it was the third quarter they tried it. The second stretch was not as good. I'm not sure if the second stretch was bad for the team because that lineup was bad, or if it was just because Denver had decided to lock down and just win the game. That's kind of hard for me to tease that out. But look, I mean, I thought there was some interesting stuff. The high-low action was interesting. I thought it was interesting that Duren was basically the high man and Wiseman the low man, because Wiseman has been the better mid-range shooter so far. But Wiseman, I think, also is a bit longer and able to catch lobs a little bit better. I also don't know if there's any real hope for the lineup, because I think so far it's sort of like a novelty gimmick. And if teams scheme against it, like, they might just be able to completely shut it down, right? Like if they just crowd Durin and completely get in his shorts, like, is he gonna be able to make those lob passes, or is he gonna turn it over like he is kind of prone to do sometimes on the interior through his passing? But look, honestly, like, okay, so here's cynical Ben. There's a part of me that's more interested in watching Duren and Wiseman maybe turn it over and make bad decisions than watching Killian chuck up air balls to beat the shot clock and
Yeah.
Ivy dribble it off his own feet in the fourth quarter.
I know.
Like if they're gonna lose, like, okay, I like big men who can dunk, like, and like that's fun.
Let's
Right?
lose
Like,
different.
it's fun. Like, Durant getting offensive rebounds and spinning on Jokic. Like, he threw a lot. Like, Durant threw the first high-low lob to Wiseman for a dunk. And then the very next play, like, he caught it in the post, faced up, and then just did a dirty crossover on Jokic and got fouled and went to the line. Like, that's fun. Like, why? Like, okay. Like, I'd rather watch that than Killian, like a play like in that same stretch where he did a dribble step back into the corner and chucked up an air ball three to beat the shot clock. Like, I would rather watch two big men struggle to figure it out half the time and dunk half the time than air balls and turnovers from young guards, which I've watched all season. So, yeah, like it's fun, it's interesting. So yeah, I think. If there's obviously now being serious, right? If there's any hope of it working, I think you need three shooters. And I think long term, at least one of those guys needs to be able to knock down a 17 footer, right? Like that's obvious. It's like, thanks, Captain Obvious Ben. But like, I think at one point they had Magruder, Ivy, and Killian and out there as the three guards. Like, yikes. Like, Casey doesn't have a lot of other options at the moment. But yeah, it's fun. Why not? Why not let it fly?
So we've seen like these passing flashes from Durin before. And so it's like that to me is a part of the reason why you do this is to get Durin experience just like mapping the floor, seeing what the defense gives him from that high post. It's like sometimes that's a lob, sometimes that's like a perimeter drive attack. It's like that would be cool if he ever like learns to make reads off of drives or like in the short roll. And he's had some nice like short roll passes before. Remember there was that Sadiq game winner against Charlotte, I wanna say. Earlier this season. And Wiseman has also made some surprising passing reads. He had like a nice pass to Rodney Magruder on a back cut earlier this week. He did a very nice job of like getting, he's done a good job of like getting the offensive rebound and kind of like relocating and resetting the offense and not just trying to go up like straight back with it at times. So I've been more impressed. I've been impressed with Wiseman's desire to pass on occasion. That is not something that like he has shown a lot of at Golden State. I think with the knowledge that he's going to get more playing time. He's like, okay, like I can make this pass instead of feeling like, okay, if I'm going to play 10 minutes, I'm shooting like 15 times, which is like, it's a thing for a young player. I get it. But yeah, ideally, Ben, if you're going to play two bigs, like one of them should be able to shoot. And last time I checked, the Pistons still don't have any bigs who can shoot. I like if you believe in Stewart long term, like that's one thing. But like I don't believe in Bagley. I don't really believe in Wiseman as like a perimeter shooter. And I really hope that Jalen Duren does not try to like hone that area of his game. He needs to again like improve defensively before I'd worry about whether or not he wants to take like turnaround 17 footers. I've also noticed that like ever since Wiseman got here, Duren's been calling for the ball in the post a lot more. And like
It's
I It's
contagious.
contagious. I don't know what to make of it. It's like I like that, like let the bigs be big, right? But also like if you don't get it in the first like 3 seconds, like let's just like run some actual 2023 NBA offense instead of some like 1976 NBA offense, please. But yeah, this is why we're watching the games, right? To see them get reps with this and see if it's like something that can actually work long term. Troy Weaver seems really interested in making it work. Long term, he's preached and extolled the values of playing two bigs for a lot. And so we're stuck with this, whether we like it or not. So we better hope it works, cynicism or otherwise.
There was so they ran one set that I absolutely loved, and it was against Denver, and it was Killian in the two bigs, and I don't remember if it was I don't remember which bigs was screening off the top of my head, but one of the bigs screened for Killian. Killian threw the lob to the or threw a pass to the short corner to the one big, and the rolling. The guy who set the ball screen for Killian rolled down the middle and caught the lob from the other big. So like it's not just the intriguing thing to me about it is the two bigs passing and playing to each other, not just off the high low, but like you can imagine scenarios with Cade and with Ivy when they're both healthy, when the defense is keyed in on the guards who are the primary point, like your primary point of attack people, and the defense gets lost thinking about those. It's so like you can squint and you can imagine scenarios where some of this is interesting, but then it's like when you stop squinting, you're like, wait a minute, like
When you just look.
it's like there's so many other things that have to happen to the roster and to those two bigs. Like their skill sets need to grow so much more yet. Like it just seems like it's so far away from working. But yeah, I mean, like, hey, why not? Like it's fun.
And like again, like the Pistons are the worst team in the league. The top player in this year's draft is a 7-foot-4 guy
Right.
with ball skills.
Three bigs.
And if it's like you can just rotate two bigs and play two bigs all the time instead of doing something else. But yeah, so I think it's like, yeah, this is definitely a reason to keep watching. And it remains interesting. And I'm glad that with only 11 games left, there's not enough time to get like super duper tired of it, right?
Right.
We'll have to wait till summer league or next season to get super duper tired of it. Speaking of bigs, Marvin Bagley got hurt earlier last week. Isaiah Livers also got hurt earlier this week. Bagley is not listed on the injury report for tonight's game against Miami, so hopefully he returns and the Pistons have three bigs and they can like rotate them in and out. But Livers, I believe, was still questionable. Ben, is it how are we feeling about relying on these guys who's like just seem to get perpetually like banged up? Not even like injured, like oh they're out for an extended period or whatever, but just like consistently just banged up.
Yeah, it's worrying. You got to wonder to what extent they'd be playing if it mattered too. I mean,
That's true.
that's the one thing I have to question. But yeah, it's with Bagley, obviously, before he came to Detroit, that was the big question. I mean, there were lots of questions, but the big question for me was how much is the dude going to play because he's injured so much? With Livers, it seemed like the freak thing in his rookie season that's just sort of been persisting, but I have to wonder, like, if it mattered, would both of them be able to go? And that's what, and I wonder the same thing about Bogey, right? Like Achilles soreness. Well, what the heck does that mean?
Well,
I mean,
yeah, if they had something to play for, I truly believe like Bogey would be playing, but there's nothing left playing for, so like why run him out there?
right. It's like, I mean,
Yeah.
when you turn 30, you've got Achilles soreness and back soreness, and Laz, you know what I'm talking
I do
about.
sadly. Well, but Livers, right? Like part of the reason like Livers is a guy we're watching down the stretch of these last final games because they've as like one of the few wings with the
Yeah.
possibility for like 3-and-D potential on this team. It's like he is like one of the more intriguing players to watch down the stretch. A little bit more self-creation like prior to his injury. One of the best communicators on defense on the team. You could really see him having an impact on like that side of the floor in that manner. And so like they seem to really like him. And so it makes sense to like pay attention to how he's playing. But if he can't stay on the floor, it's like you wonder about, are we going to need, two wings instead of just another one going into next season if we can't rely on this guy to stay healthy. So we'll and Bagley, I like Bagley. He was playing better before, I believe it was his ankle injury. It sucks for him to get injured. But like yeah, Bagley, I am less concerned if he is like a long-term piece for the team moving forward. And so it doesn't matter to me as much if we like why. And we already also kind of know like what kind of player he's going to be, right? Bench scoring big with maybe stretch ability, maybe not. And when he's 25, I think we'll officially be able to like close the door on whether or not he'll ever shoot threes. But yeah, it's just interesting to. And like it's forced other guys to step up. They played a lot of small lineups. They played a lot of like three guard, like Kojo, Killian, RJ, and RJ Hampton all at the same time. You've seen like a lot of they played like a Kojo, Killian, Rodney, RJ, Duren lineup against like Washington. And I was just like, what? Like what are we doing here, man? Like
Would you rather have that or two bigs? Like, That's the
Like four
question.
guards
It's
are
like,
too big.
what do you want?
Like I would like some wings. I'd like some wings on this team, please. And like that's why Eugene has been so a breath of fresh air, just because as a 6'7" dude, who does what he does. But yeah, it sucked. The injuries have sucked, and even like the non-expected ones, right? Like I expected Bogey to be shut down. I expected Burks to be shut down. I half expected them to shut down like Magruder, just because like again, there's nothing to play for. But he's been playing like kind of well for them lately as well, so it's beneficial to keep him around, perhaps. And then like obviously the not ones with Stewart and the shoulder, and Hamadou, who just like twists his ankle. Like those are unfortunate, especially Hamadou would be having a ball right now. It's just the guy who got to do whatever he wants with all these guys being injured. But yeah, injuries are a part of the game, and it sucks to watch them close the stretch without like a full roster. But maybe, Bagley should be back soon, and Livers should also be back soon, so we'll get to see those guys close the season, hopefully. But they were missed earlier this week. All right, Ben. There's something like philosophical I kind of wanted to talk to you about. On the Bun and Cardigan show, James Edwards III kind of pushed back a little on the fan-inspired notion that like Troy Weaver is in danger of losing his job. He said some. I don't have like the direct quote in front of me, and if I'm mischaracterizing his position, I apologize. But more or less, was like there's more pressure from fans to win soon than there is pressure internally to win soon. And as a fan who's been, I don't want to, as a fan who's been not exerting that pressure, but just been like openly wondering about how much time Troy Weaver has, because normally you don't get to lose as much as Troy Weaver's teams has lost in his first 3 years, 4 years as an NBA GM, and you don't really get to keep your job. So I thought that comment was interesting, that there does not seem to be a like super strong impetus to be like really, really good anytime soon.
So to the extent that I'll speak for me as a fan, first of all,
Yeah,
to the
that's all
extent,
we can do at this point, right?
to the extent that my read of it has been that there is a fan pressure to win, Weaver has brought it on himself by constantly talking about being competitive, right? Being competitive has been ill-defined, I think, by Troy. And I don't know if he's directly referenced the play-in or playoffs or things of that nature, but it's hard to I mean, it's hard to imagine what competitive means without thinking in those terms. Like, what could it mean to be competitive without thinking about something like the playoffs or the play-in or something like that? So I think, I don't mean this as a criticism of James Edwards III or any of his comments. I'll just direct it at specifically Troy Weaver and Troy Weaver's own comments about restoration and rebuilding and competitive. Like, to the extent that the fans might be frustrated, I think at least some of the frustration should be directed at those specific comments from Weaver himself.
Yeah.
To the extent that there's not internal pressure to win next season, that makes me extremely happy because I don't think they're going to win a lot. And I think more importantly, like, I think that's what ultimately, blew up Stan Van Gundy and that team and sort of forced them into the Blake Griffin trade. And, the Blake Griffin trade, we've dissected that to death. But I think ultimately, in hindsight, I don't think that was a good thing for the franchise because it got you to the playoffs once, and that was it. You had no chance of winning in the playoffs with Blake Griffin and that roster because the roster wasn't strong enough to support him. Blake Griffin ultimately, blew out his leg trying to get you essentially what amounted to a single win in a playoff series, not even a playoff series win, but a single win, like one game, right? And what you want to avoid if you're Troy Weaver is that sort of pressure, right? Trying to win before your roster has come to fruition, right? So we were so critical as of the James Wiseman trade. I think with some of that history and context in our mind, right? If you're trying to win next season, why are you going out and getting a project like James Wiseman, who's 3 or 4 years away, right?
Right,
Right.
right.
So that's what we were all rehashing. So if that pressure internally isn't there, then I feel like a lot of Troy Weaver's moves make more sense, because if he can wait 2 or 3 more years on James Wiseman, if he can wait 2 or 3 more years on Cade and Ivy to fully develop, and he doesn't have to worry about his job, then I think I'm more at peace and at ease with where things are. The criticism that I have, if all of that's the case, is I wish they would just be transparent with the fan base and say that, like, we're in this for the long game. We're
Right.
playing the long haul. Like, we're developing these young pieces. We have a timetable in mind, even if they don't say what the timetable is. We're not where we want to be right now, but we're playing the long game. Something like develop, hire a PR firm, I don't care, but quit telling us you're trying to make the playoffs next year when it's obvious we're not, because
Right.
clearly fans are frustrated, right?
Yeah.
Clearly fans are frustrated. So that would be my comments on that. Like, I'm glad his job is not in danger, because if your job's in danger when you're trying to do a 6-year, 7-year rebuild, you're gonna make a short-term decision that risks your long-term plan, and that's ultimately where the Pistons have gotten themselves in trouble before. They don't need to do it again.
Yeah. So it's interesting. While you were speaking, I was thinking about a story I read in The Athletic about the Houston Rockets GM, Raphael Stone, and like his comments about like where the Rockets are at right now. And Raphael Stone was doing a lot of what you were asking for from Troy Weaver, being like, hey, like this is going to take like more we like our guys. We think we have a lot of star potential in our current players, but we are like, but they are going to need some more time. Like it's going to take time. And the Rockets are an interesting case study, right? Because they're so young, they have like, after trading Eric Gordon, I think they might be the youngest team in the league. Like I can't think of like a single like long-term like big minute vet that's in their rotation right now. And I think that is like them being honest about that is at least like a reassuring from a fan perspective, right? I do think there is something to the messaging that's like, hey, it's like we're not we're like if we suck, it's not on purpose. And yeah, I do think there's something to like they would have been better this year if Cade was healthy, right? We've talked about how we don't know how much better, right? And we don't think it would be like enough to where if we frame competitive in terms of like being in contention for the play-in, I don't think Cade's addition like makes them that much better, but they undoubtedly would not be the worst team in the NBA record-wise if Cade had played the entire season and was fully healthy, right? And so I think there's definitely reason for optimism in the long term. As soon as you get Cade back, like that's a big addition. Jaden Ivey has made major strides on both sides of the ball this season. That's a major addition. Jalen Duren has looked good. And like Bogdanovich was their best player consistently this season. I know he hasn't played in the last like 3 weeks, so we kind of forgotten about that. But like that was a legit NBA like rotation guy. And so like there is reason for optimism, but I also wish they would like stop fronting about like how competitive they do or don't want to be. I agree with your point about the self-preservation short-sightedness as well. I also had like the Blake Griffin trade like listed on the sheet. We don't want to do the Blake Griffin trade. We don't oh okay. We don't want anything like that to occur. And so like yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll see what occurs with the team in the not too distant future. What else do I want to talk about? Ben, what's been on your mind with this Pistons team so far? This week, sorry.
Yeah, so this week, man, I think, obviously we had the win, and I don't want to overanalyze or read too much into a single win, but I think there's something interesting about the win that stood out to me, and it's solid veteran guard play. Right. So, you know, Kojo season is certainly a meme for the Pistons, right? And I've dogged on Kojo. It's easy to dog on Kojo because there have been times when he's been bad and he's deserved it. But this season, he's been super solid, right? When his number's been called, he's played really well. Magruder has shot the lights out, right? He's not a great player, but he has shot the lights out. And I think both of those guys, at a minimum, what they're going to do is they know how to play NBA basketball, right? They know how to play a five-man offense, and they play at least competent team defense, right? So I think it's interesting to note that when those guys were playing big minutes, they played very well in the win. They were playing a depleted Indiana team. That also deserves to be said. But I don't think it's totally coincidental that when those two guys stepped into the rotation, they both play well. They won a basketball game, right? They stopped the losing skid. And I think this points to speaking about being competitive next season and what that means. It points to something interesting that I think Weaver and Casey both have to balance next year if they want to win basketball games. And that's balancing out the rotation and balancing out the minutes you're giving to the super young guys and complementing that with veterans who know how to play basketball. What we've seen, I think, over the past two seasons is just super heavy doses of minutes for really young players, particularly guards, right? Killian, Ivy, Cade. And, you know, obviously guys like Kojo and Magruder, if any NBA basketball team, they're end of the rotation sort of guys, right? But even when you add those sort of veteran level guys to a rotation like the Pistons, that raises the level of play, at least in certain areas, right? Team defense that's competent, five-man offense that's competent, and it gives you a little bit of a boost. So I think that's what I would point to for Weaver and for Casey next season. That's what I've been thinking about. I think we saw some of that in the Denver game as well, at least for the first three quarters, right? It doesn't mean you're playing veterans all the time, but I think if you want to flesh out the rest of the rotation and the rest of the minutes next season, you got to figure out some ways to balance out your young players with some of your veterans. So that even if you're starting Ivy and Cade, which I think is the obvious plan, I don't think you can always have two young guards who are going to be making young guard mistakes, which they're obviously going to do, and it's fine. You want to let them learn and play through it. But I think you want to find some ways to supplement some of that so that one of those guys has a security blanket and a young veteran they can dump the ball off to when they've made a couple mistakes in a row and they just need a possession to dump the ball off and clear their head, right? Like, let me dump the ball off to Magruder so we can throw up a corner three or something. So I think maybe that's already in the cards, and that's already what Weaver is thinking about. But I think now is probably the time because they've got this super young core of guys. I think we need that from the wing. Laz, you're clamoring for a wing. We need a veteran wing
Please, please.
desperately, right? Who can play some competent defense. We desperately need a guard or two that actually gets into the rotation on a consistent basis. And I think we definitely need, even if it's just an end of the bench guy who's only in practice, we definitely need a big man who can mentor the two bigs that we have blossoming, right? Like, how much would you love to have like 38-year-old Ben Wallace, right? Like the Renaissance who came back, right? Like to mentor those dudes in practice, right? Like to teach those guys how to be like good help defenders, right? And how to be like the good set the good off ball screen, like how to play in the context of. So anyway, that's what's on my mind this week. Like how does Troy Weaver find the right mix of veterans that don't necessarily need to play a lot, but play in short spurts that you just mix into your rotation 8 to 12 minutes a night, and maybe even more importantly, are practicing with your young guys, you know, 5, 6, 7 days a week and showing them how to play the NBA game because I think they desperately need that going into next season. However, in the world you're defining competitive, I think they really need to figure that out this summer.
I think having like one or two more Alec Burkses around would like definitely be beneficial for this team. as just like solid, competent, experienced NBA role players, definitely would help. I do think, I've talked about this a couple times on the podcast, but like a big way for the team to get probably a lot better and that would require like low cost is to like upgrade on backup point guard from Killian, who has like who had a nice stretch, but like is not, you know, is not has not shown enough to become like a primary ball handler, even for like bench units for a team that like wants to win games as much as the Pistons might want to win games in the not too distant future. And so like, yeah, you can wait around on Killian, but like maybe you could also get another guy who can like, you know, help you do stuff in the future. Yeah, a big man mentor, I think, is what they were hoping for from Nerlens Noel. Nerlens Noel had a greater aspirations for his career than that, and you know, more power to him. But yeah, I would definitely not mind like a better defensive communicator and like better big man leader at the end of the bench. Like that does seem like something that would be extremely useful for this team moving forward. The wings need to play though. It's like if you're going to get a vet wing, like that guy needs to be able to handle like 25, 30 minutes a night
Yeah, that's true.
because they desperately need help on the wings. Like again, the current playable wings that you can project on this team next season are Livers and Boyan. And like that's basically it. Like maybe they draft a guy, maybe they sign a guy, but like those guys aren't on the roster right now. Like I don't consider RJ Hampton a wing. Hamidou's an unrestricted free agent, and also he was playing better as a big man anyway. It's like I consider Magruder a guard. Like
Oh, yeah.
there's just like there's a lot of minutes to be like absorbed for anybody who's like over 6'7" and willing to handle the ball and shoot and facilitate offense, right? So yeah, I think that this team definitely is going to need some competent NBA veteran players, both to fulfill minutes and to like act as locker room and de facto like on court leaders. And I think that would be beneficial for this team moving forward. Absolutely. Ben, I was going to ask you your thoughts about the NCAA tournament so far. If there's anybody who's in the Piston draft frame that's impressed you, if you want to just laugh at Purdue with me, what have you been thinking about the tournament so far?
All right, so I got two comments. First one is, I may or may not have a sister-in-law who teaches at Purdue, so that's kind of rough. Yeah, my brother lives in West Lafayette, so it's kind of rough. Their son is just got into watching basketball this year. They watched their first basketball game together as a family this year.
That poor kid.
He starts playing organized basketball this year. So it all came to a head. I texted with him this week and he's like, I finally understand why people throw things at their TV when their team loses. And yeah, it's kind of it's I didn't give him too much grief because I mean I know how it goes.
He's they're hurting right now. You don't
Yeah,
wanna.
and he's an MSU alum, and he got like, you know how it is. He got in super into the student section and going to the games and stuff, and hasn't been super invested in sports since he graduated. But he got really into it this year, so kind of a bummer for them. Second thing I'll say is, the only number one seed I care about right now is the number one seed for the NBA draft. That's all I'm gonna say, because the rest of the bracket is blown up, so that's all I care about.
Yeah, definitely. I have a friend who he went to Purdue, but he's more of a football fan than a basketball fan. But I also know him and his wife just had a kid. Their second kid is probably like 3 months old. And so I truly doubt that man has any time for
Yeah.
my shenanigans. So I didn't even bother texting him. But down
Yeah.
the line, like, oh yeah, next time I see him, oh yeah, that's definitely getting brought up. My second thing is where's Michigan in the tournament? Ben, what happened there?
They lost in the second round of the NIT, was it, I believe? Yeah, I was a fair weather fan this year. They struggled. So
I
Ben was
mean,
on the Ben was off the bandwagon this year. And I did not feel guilty about it at all. So
that's fair. That's fair. When Michigan State plays Marquette tough but loses today at like 5 p.m. You can laugh at me in return. But yeah, that was funny. And for your second point, Brandon Miller is the guy that, like, the best player in college basketball this season. A guy a lot of Pistons fans have had their eyes on. He did not play well in their first game. I think he is nursing a groin injury. He did not really play well in their second game, but he managed to scut. Like, the first game, he had 0 points on 5 shots. Like, that's a pretty bad game, but, like, he was also, like, not needed for them to beat a 16 seed and nursing an injury. So, like, I'm not going to hold that against him. The second game they played against Maryland, he had 19 points on 17 shots, and was like 3 of 11 from three, or no, just 2 of 6 from three and 3 of 11 from the floor. But he managed to get to the line 8 times, and like that's kind of what matters. It's like, again, his body of work is so strong this season. His on-court body of work is so strong this season. I am not, like, holding these tournament games against him per se, but there have been guys who'd had better performances. And then conversely, like, Jairus Walker was another guy a lot of Pistons fans was like kind of had their eyes on. Houston is a fun watch if you liked those, like, Pistons teams that, like, held people to 60 points. Like, Houston, like, very similar, like, on that spectrum in terms of college basketball. Walker had 16 points in his first game and 7 points in their win over Auburn. They're fighting that tough, gritty win over Auburn. And so, like, those are the two guys I'm probably going to keep a close eye on. Taylor Hendricks, the guy from UCF, he's a like another big man from UCF, but he can actually shoot and defend, so, like, that's why I'm interested in
Hey,
him.
skills.
Exactly. They play Oregon today in the NIT, I believe, and so I'll keep an eye on his stats as well. But yeah, it's like, once all the one seeds lose, it's like this tournament's not, it's like, I'm happy, but, like, it's also like, huh, this is, like, weirdly not as compelling to see if, like, Princeton, like, makes it to the Elite Eight. Like, those guys have won enough already. They're at Princeton. Like, what are we even doing? All right, Ben, the Pistons, for their part, are doing their job to distract me from Michigan State basketball. They play the Heat later today at 6 o'clock. Then they play Atlanta in Atlanta on Tuesday. That's the Sadiq Bey revenge game. And then they play the Raptors in Toronto on Friday. So a kind of a short week this week for the Pistons. Maybe Sadiq Bey shoots them out of that revenge game against Atlanta. But this is looking like trouble for the Pistons this week, Ben.
Yeah, and those teams all are still trying to win pretty hard, I think. So, Detroit not trying super hard to win, although Rodney Magruder and Kojo seem to be determined to carry them to victory. So, I don't know. Weaver and Casey don't have a whole lot of losing options left. I'm not really RJ Hampton, maybe big minutes. I'm not sure. But losing while playing hard against Denver, like the Denver loss, that's a good model. Compete hard for 3 quarters and then lose in the fourth. I'm fine with that.
Denver, for their part, is they played us tougher than I think they anticipated, and then they lost to the Knicks. And so, like, Denver is kind of going through it right now. I think the Pistons win is, like, their only win in their last 6 games, 5 games. Yeah, it's been interesting to see that impact the MVP discussion. But yeah, Atlanta needs to keep winning. Miami needs to keep winning. The Raptors definitely need to keep winning. And so I expect a full throttle competition this week. We'll see what that means for the Pistons, like, from a competitiveness of the individual game standpoint. My hope is that the Bagley returning and Livers returning, if not against Miami, then against Atlanta or Toronto, helps them in that department. But I don't expect the team to win a lot of games the rest of this season. That Houston game coming up in like a couple weeks,
Race to the bottom.
that's looking like it. I don't know. Well, Houston's won. They've won 2 games this week again, so we'll see. We'll see. All right, Ben. We're not associated with Detroit Bad Boys anymore, so we can't tell people to, like, check out the we can still tell you to check out Detroit Bad Boys. Detroit Bad Boys is still awesome, but we're just not affiliated with them anymore. But yeah, let the people know where they can find you if they want to hear what you're thinking about the Detroit basketball team.
Well, I'm going to assume this is still going to get posted on Detroit Bad Boys. So,
Maybe. I don't know.
oh,
I have to talk to
okay.
Sean.
All right. Well, then at Detroit Bad Boys, maybe. Otherwise, occasionally on Twitter, although less and less, because that website just seems to be such a dumpster fire. Otherwise, still DetroitBadBoys.com occasionally. Although I don't watch the games live as much because they're so bad, and I like being able to fast forward through the commercials and sometimes the free throws and sometimes some of the out of bounds plays, some of that kind of stuff, just skip the boring parts and then rewind the lobs from Duren to Wiseman and watch them over and over again.
There you go.
So yeah, that's the best place. Twitter probably occasionally,
For
so
now,
happy article. Yeah.
For me, you can follow me on Twitter at Last Chance. I think if we stop doing the podcast entirely, I'll probably write more, and so you'll probably see me lurking around on Detroit Bad Boys as a person of interest, not necessarily the host of the Detroit Bad Boys podcast anymore per se. And of course, you should still check out Detroit Bad Boys though. Like that's still the our home, the place where we talk about the Pistons the most. And so even if we are no longer affiliated with SB Nation or Detroit Bad Boys, we still enjoy their content. And so you should definitely check them out. This has been what I believe is now like the Detroit basketball podcast, just like the Washington football team, or just like the blandest possible name for a Pistons podcast. It's like, you know what? You knew what you were getting when you signed up. Well, no, you didn't. So
But for much less nefarious reasons are we bland, right? Like
that's true.
for much better
For
reasons.
much better reasons. Yeah, we will talk to you guys sometime. Probably, maybe. See ya.